to the right place.
He's gone! Touchdown again, Josh Adams!
This is your home for Chicago's college tailgate.
Downfield looking for Godwin into his hands, and guess which dogs are barking first? Ugga, get after it!
Chicago's college tailgate.
Fires to the end zone, touchdown! Alabama wins!
On ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
The game is over! The Wildcats prevail!
It's time for Chicago's college tailgate on ESPN 1000.
The open field. It's the corner.
Got a great block. Unbelievable! 56 yards! Touchdown, USC!
This is Chicago's college tailgate, along with Chris Black and Adam Abdallah. Here's Jonathan Hood.
Week 8 of Chicago's College Tailgate here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Along with Adam Abdallah and Chris Black, Jonathan Hood with you. Adam off this week. Glad that you're with us on the program. We will hear from Ben Hartsock, who is a former Ohio State Buckeye, ESPN radio college football analyst. We'll hear from him coming up at the bottom of the hour here on ESPN 1000. Matt Jones, when it comes to Kentucky sports, Chris, nobody knows Kentucky sports like Matt Jones. He's Mr. Kentucky Sports. We'll hear from him coming up as the Kentucky's really turned things around. Definitely a quality bowl game for Kentucky coming up this season. Also, we will have Colin Wilson, because we know if you're listening to this show, you either like this show because you love college football or you want to know the best plays for college football for this week 8. We'll hear from Colin Wilson from the Action Network and theathletic.com coming up at 2:15. Also, our Saturday night specials. We'll have our picks for week 8 as well. But as we keep our eyes on a game that I know you and I are looking forward to, Chris, we will take a look now at Michigan against Michigan State. And with that matchup, Michigan-Michigan State, it is delayed at this point in time, but there was fireworks beforehand.
Absolutely, Jonathan. As we are in week 8 of the college football season, it seems as if the rivalries are just about to heat up as we're in the third week of October. And when you look at Michigan and Michigan State, this is what happened early on. If you missed it, it's all over social media this morning. Michigan State, when they entered the field to practice and get warmed up early this morning, the players decided to link arms and walk across the field. The problem was there were Michigan players already out on the field getting ready for their warm-up. So what happened? Players went at each other and they ran into each other. Devin Bush from Michigan was none too happy. The Michigan player then goes to midfield and starts tearing up the middle of the Spartan logo. This was all pregame, so definitely tensions high. The rivalry is high. This is a big game, a top 25 matchup. They are in a weather delay at the moment. We will keep you up to date with the score all throughout the afternoon here on Chicago's College Tailgate, but this is going to be a great game, and it's important to see whether or not Jim Harbaugh can finally beat a team on the road who is ranked and finally get this Michigan Wolverine team in the right direction into the playoff conversation.
So here's the thing, and we retweeted this on our Twitter page, at ESPN 1000 CCT for Chicago's College Tailgate. You can see the video for yourself on our Twitter page. So there is Bush there, and he is trying to tear up the white part of the middle of the field. But is that grass or is that field turf? Or is it just cold? It kind of looks like it's just matted in where he tried to get his cleats and try to tear it up, but for not, right?
And then Michigan State afterwards had to come back and spray paint over the damage that was done to the middle of the field. So both teams off the field at the moment. They've cleared the seating bowl in East Lansing, so they are waiting through a weather delay. So we will keep you up to date once they start playing once again. It's no score at the moment. 0-0, and the delay took place about real early in the first quarter.
So just think about this matchup for a minute.
Number 6 Michigan at number 24 Michigan State.
Do you know that Michigan has not beaten a team on a road ranked? Michigan has not beaten a ranked team on the road since 2006. At that point in time, Jim Harbaugh was at San Diego. He was a coach at that particular time. Sparty has covered the last 10 games against Michigan. 0-17. I want you to think about that just for a second. It's been a while since Michigan was able to get it done. A true road test. And this will tell a real story about Michigan to me. As a program, if they can finally get over the hump beating the Spartans.
Yeah, it's the longest streak in the poll era for a team to lose that many games on the road against AP-ranked opponents. Here's the thing. The context of Michigan football all season long, all summer, as we headed into the season, was, is this Michigan team, the talented team on defense, which we're seeing in all the advanced analytics show that this defense is one of the best in the country. Now, can they actually win games that are on the schedule that are needed to be a part of the playoff conversation? And I think most Michigan fans listening and kind of observing the program thought that this program would be farther along than what they are at this moment, because Jim Harbaugh and this team have not won the big game. They have not beaten Ohio State. They've lost to Michigan State. Heck, to start this season, they lost to Notre Dame. That was a big primetime matchup. And if you look at Michigan football, I think they think the Michigan fan base and everyone, the boosters and everyone, they want them to be in the Alabama category.
Sure.
And right now, Michigan football is in the Ole Miss category.
You're listening to Chicago's College Tailgate here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app, along with Adam Abdallah, who had no comment there, and Chris Black, Jonathan Hood with you. I want to talk to you a little bit about Notre Dame as well, because, you know, I'm thinking that if you're Brian Kelly would love to continue to play, like no time off, because they've been undefeated. They've played so well. I think that coming into the season, we thought that maybe Notre Dame would turn the corner, Chris, but not to this point. You remember last year, the loss against Georgia in South Bend, how Georgia fans just took over the city, right? And then you saw, I think, a turnaround for Notre Dame. But it goes to show you that just as similar as what Alabama is doing, you are seeing a change of quarterback, where you had in place a quarterback you believed in. And then they made a change right in the middle, and things have really worked out for them, especially on the offensive side.
And we look at last week's game, and we go back to last Saturday, and we see that Notre Dame beats Pittsburgh 19-14. It was a tough game, a really tough game. And you look at the scope of the season, it was kind of like a letdown moment for Notre Dame. And I think a lot of people just assumed they would show up and roll Pittsburgh. And this week, they're up one spot in the AP Top 25. They're fourth in the country. And as you look ahead towards the playoff picture, as long as they keep winning, no matter how ugly it looks, it's going to be good for Notre Dame, because now they're already in the top four. And as long as you take care of your own business, and there's not that much on the horizon that's too scary, as long as you take care of it yourself. And you look at Pittsburgh, and Ian Book, in that game, he went 26 of 32, 264 yards, two touchdowns. And Jonathan, the thing that I think to point out, based on what you were saying, the change of quarterback, was Ian Book is the one that made the play at the end of the game to kind of get the victory and not allow Notre Dame to trip up. It was 5:43 left in the fourth quarter. Book to Miles Boykin, 35-yard touchdown pass. And that's what sealed it, because before that point, Notre Dame looked like this was the upset that was going to derail the entire season. But instead, Book came through, Boykin with the touchdown, end of the fourth quarter, and Notre Dame wins. And now they're sitting 7-0, fourth in the country.
However, as we mentioned last week on the program, Pitt came in upset-minded. The last couple of years, they were able to get the job done on several occasions, upsetting Clemson on one occasion, upsetting Vatek, I think, on another. But the point is that was a very close game for Notre Dame. But I will play devil's advocate and talk to you a little bit about how we look at Notre Dame and look at that schedule. Okay. So Michigan, as we already talked about, Michigan, I think, is with the arrow pointing up. Obviously, when you take on your rival, taking on Michigan State, if you're able to win and finally get off the schneid, that's a positive. But you take a look at these other victories that Notre Dame has had right here on the home of the Irish, ESPN 1000. When they take on Ball State, when they take on Vanderbilt, close games, as you mentioned. So now Ian Book comes in as the quarterback, and the offense starts to flourish against Wake Forest, against Stanford. Now, again, saw Stanford. Not as impressed with Stanford now as I was at the time. They were number 7 at the time. Stanford, a team now that can't run the football. They don't look as menacing as they were coming into the season. Taking on Vatek, and again, because it was on the road, that's the question mark we had. Could Notre Dame, on the road, get it done against number 24, Vatek? Taking on Pitt, a very close game. Now, Navy at Northwestern, which you classify as a tough game. I'm not sure anymore. Florida State, Syracuse, and USC. That's a schedule they can run the table with, but I can't say that I'm overly impressed with some of the teams that they've been able to beat.
What's the saying that we love in college football? Good teams win, great teams cover.
Sure.
And I think kind of that's where Notre Dame is sitting at a crossroads. Are they a great team that we saw in the second half against Virginia Tech, the second half against Stanford? Or are they a good team that can just take care of their own business and beat Pittsburgh in a tough matchup where you're losing for the majority of the game? It was late in the fourth quarter. It was 14-13 with Pitt with the lead. So if you look at that, are they a good team or a great team? They're good enough to win bad games. They beat Pittsburgh. We've seen them earlier in the season against Vandy, against Ball State. Those didn't look pretty. Switch at quarterback. You have two great games against Stanford and Virginia Tech. So what do you get from here on out? Because here's the thing. I get that the Northwestern game, maybe on paper, when you look at the stats, doesn't really seem like it'll be a tough game.
Well, not anymore.
Not anymore.
And
but
this is not, and that's not a shot at Notre Dame. That's a shot at Northwestern.
Absolutely. But you know, up in Evanston at Ryan Field, they're going to have the grass extra long. As usual, and Notre Dame's not going to be able to run around on the field like they usually do with their turf. Like, and that might sound like a silly piece of analysis, but we've seen teams who are good go into Northwestern and struggle because they can't just run, right? Like,
but not Akron.
Yeah, well, it's different.
But to your point, let me just accentuate your point for a minute. Is a team that's just takes care of business good enough for the Final Four? That's how you classify them. You said it's one of two things, right?
Yeah.
Is TCB good enough for the Final Four?
Well, and that's why it's fascinating, because if you're not Notre Dame, probably not. Okay. But if you're Notre Dame in this country, in this sport, probably. And I know that would upset our little friend Adam Abdallah, who's not here with us today, but that's just how it is.
In Roll college Tide. Football,
yeah. What was that?
Abdallah.
Oh, okay. In this country, in college football, Notre Dame means something. And if they are undefeated, they will be in the playoff. I don't think there's a question on that. It's just, can they get there undefeated? Again, no conference championship game. So as long as you get through your schedule, you beat Navy, which is in San Diego, then come back against Northwestern on the road, but you're still in the Midwest, close to home. Florida State, Syracuse at home, at USC. Take care of your business. You will get there. For any other school, UCF, NC State, you know, like
right.
Other schools, if you took care of your business,
South Florida,
you're not going to get into the playoff because people are going to poke holes in your resume. But with Notre Dame, you have a little bit more because they're the echoes. You got to wake them, get them ready.
Jonathan, Adam, and Chris with you on Chicago's College Tailgate here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Also, we're keeping our eyes on Oklahoma as they take on TCU. And Oklahoma, the number 9 team in the country. Could you imagine? Imagine if Oklahoma, the Sooners, by God, if they were able to get past Texas. Of course, that's the only blip on their resume. 48-45. They lost 48-45. Second field goal by Dicker, the kicker. So I look at that, man, and I'm just thinking, if they were able to get past Texas, I look at the rest of the schedule. Now, there might be a hiccup there against West Virginia at the end, but that's a team there, a Oklahoma team. If they ran the table, man, that's a team that you'd have to look at seriously for consideration, right?
Now, think about it. Since they lost to Texas, they've already jumped two spots in the AP Top 25 to ninth. They're 5-1. Right now, currently, they are beating the blank out of TCU.
Yes.
28-7 with 8 minutes left in the second quarter. So Oklahoma on their way right now to another victory. Mm-hmm. And you see the loss against Texas. I wonder if people are going to look at a one-loss Oklahoma team if they go on to win the Big 12 and to be that best team in the Big 12. I wonder if they say, you know, Texas was really good this season. Maybe that one loss in the Red River Shootout isn't as bad as we kind of thought at the time. Is that possible?
Texas is back, folks!
Maybe. I mean, 6-1 overall for Texas, undefeated in the conference so far. You just know because it's the Big 12, they're going to beat each other up. But, right. Man, it just... So, but you thinking that maybe Oklahoma, on top of the Big 12, serious consideration for the Final Four?
It's going to be Oklahoma or Texas,
right?
One of the two, right? Do we trust that Texas won't trip up? Texas, on their schedule coming up, they play at Oklahoma State tonight. Then they have West Virginia on the schedule, Iowa State still. They'll probably beat Texas Tech, and they'll beat Kansas. So, I mean, if you have to pick one of the two teams, if Texas can beat West Virginia, they probably could. And as long as they don't get tripped up tonight against Oklahoma State, they'll probably be the team because they beat Oklahoma already. But both of these teams are going to be angling towards the playoff. And I think that that's the key here is Texas already beat Oklahoma. But Oklahoma, if they finish out how they do and Texas doesn't trip up, they're going to be on the outside looking in.
312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our telephone number. We have a scoreboard right around the corner. Let us take a call. Ed in Wheaton's been listening. He's with us here on ESPN 1000 on Chicago's College Tailgate. Hello, Ed.
Hey, how you doing, Hoodie?
Good, thank you. Say hello to Chris Black.
Hey, you're ripping on Notre Dame's schedule. I think they got the toughest strength of schedule of anybody in the top 10. Alabama plays Citadel November the 20th, which is a 1AA school. I'll hang up and listen to your comments.
Okay. Well, first of all, I'm not ripping Notre Dame. Not ripping. That's not what's happening. It's because it's opposite of your viewpoint doesn't mean that I'm ripping them. I play devil's advocate, and as Chris knows, I said, what would happen playing the devil's advocate? Would you say if their schedule's not as impressive, how would people look at that? And you said, because it's Notre Dame, they're going to get the benefit of the doubt, especially if they run the table.
Okay, so let's take a look at the resume. If you look at strength of schedule of the teams in the top 25, of the top four at the moment, Notre Dame does have the toughest strength of schedule. Yes, between Alabama, Ohio State, Clemson, Notre Dame is ranked 24th in the country as far as strength of schedule. The team who's fifth, LSU, their strength of schedule is ranked fifth. So they have, by far, out of the top 25, the toughest schedule out of anyone. You drop down to seventh. Texas is ninth in strength of schedule. So there are teams with tougher schedules than Notre Dame. Michigan's at 25. So, right. I mean, there are teams in the ballpark of Notre Dame. Tough schedule compared to Alabama, Ohio State, and Clemson.
Right.
But when you look at LSU and Texas, and even Michigan, they've got Michigan by one spot. Texas and LSU have a far tougher schedule at this moment.
And by the way, when it comes to strength of schedule, my whole thought on that is the strength of schedule is based on coming into the season. What I'm looking at is what's happening like right now, looking at how we looked at it at the time when the season started versus what you have right now. The strength of schedule is not fluid, is it not?
The key stat that Ed would like to look at then would be strength of ranking.
Yes.
Because that's the teams that you've beaten to this point. Notre Dame is first in the country. Number two would be Ohio State. Number three is LSU, and number four is Clemson. So Alabama's fifth on that list.
Watch out for Northwestern. If you're the Irish, you know it's going to be lit in Evanston.
The CCT scoreboard on ESPN 1000.
We check college football scores at the top 15, bottom and 45 is Chris Black.
Yeah, lit in Evanston for that game with Notre Dame fans, right?
Oh,
Oklahoma and TCU, 7:55 in the second quarter. It's a 14-point ball game. Oklahoma's up 28-14 on TCU at this moment. Delayed in weather in East Lansing, 0-0 early in the first quarter. Michigan and Michigan State, they are expecting to resume play at 12:52 Central Time. So we'll keep our eyes on that game as they are in a weather delay. Speaking of weather, 6 minutes left in the second quarter. Illinois and Wisconsin, and it's snowing. It's 14-7, Wisconsin with the lead over Illinois. Iowa's up 13-0 on Maryland with 8 seconds left in the half, the first half. Cincinnati and Temple, they're tied at 10 with 9:26 left in the second quarter. And other Big Ten action taking place at this moment. Rutgers is up 10-7 on Northwestern at the moment with 3:37 left in the second quarter. And that's the look at our top 25 and Big Ten scoreboard here on Chicago's College Tailgate.
Jonathan, Adam, and Chris with you here on Chicago's College Tailgate on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Let's take a look at the playoff predictor.
Chicago's College Tailgate.
The playoff predictor. Sure, it's a guess, but it's as educated of a guess as there can be.
Because when it comes to deciding the four teams in the playoff, everything matters.
In a game of hypotheticals.
Who's in?
Well, let's take a look at the playoff predictor. It's interesting. I was watching Marcus Spears on the SEC Network this morning, their version of Game Day.
Yeah.
In Tennessee.
Feinbaum!
Feinbaum was there.
Rocky Top!
And also, Tim Tebow was there. He had some thoughts. He was running while he was talking. And so, Tim Tebow was there also. They were talking about the playoff predictor. And Marcus Spears had Ohio State as his number one team in the country.
What?
What do you think of that? Not Alabama, but Ohio State.
And that wasn't a hot take for clickbait purposes?
I mean, you can't click a TV show.
Well, here's the thing.
Right?
I can see if you wanted to make the argument based on who they've played to this point, suggesting that Ohio State has a far better victory on the road in Happy Valley against Penn State than Alabama has to this point. I can understand that. But I think if we've all watched college football through 7 weeks of the college football season, we've all seen Alabama be so great. And the fact that Tua Tagovailoa doesn't have to play in the fourth quarter of any of these games because they're winning by so much, how could you say that they're not the best team in the country?
I know.
We get it. Ohio State has a more impressive victory, but Alabama's the best team in the country, no?
No question about it. No question that they're number one team in the country. So when we take a look at the playoff predictor numbers, Chris, for me, it's Alabama, Ohio State, Clemson, Notre Dame. My beloved Georgia Bulldogs lost to LSU. I told you that loss was coming.
Yeah.
I told you the loss was coming. I didn't know when. So the loss is coming. That did not look like an undefeated season for a young defense. So they lost against LSU, so that's not a surprise to me. But there's a 1.7% chance that all four of these teams stay undefeated. 23% that they make the playoff. 75% that someone else will be in the playoff, according to ESPN. That could be Oklahoma, that could be Michigan, that could be Georgia.
Yeah, and right now if you look at the top 25, that's the way they're in the top 25. Alabama, Ohio State, Clemson, Notre Dame. And I agree with you. If I sat down and made my playoff predictor, those are the four that I have at the moment. I have Clemson ahead of Notre Dame, which that could definitely change today because if, say, Ohio State struggles against Purdue and Clemson blows out NC State, who's undefeated at the moment, then I would say, okay, Clemson bounces back to number two. I think we both agree, though, that Notre Dame is four at the moment. The one-loss teams, LSU, Michigan, Texas, Georgia, Oklahoma. Those are the teams sitting on the outside looking in, waiting to take advantage of someone ahead of them slipping up. Here's the question. LSU tonight hosting Mississippi State, number 22 Mississippi State at LSU at night, 6 o'clock on ESPN tonight. Everyone in the country, gambling side, pick'em side, are picking Mississippi State to upset LSU tonight.
Very likely.
Death Valley at night. Do you see LSU losing, thus bouncing them, even though they've had three great victories this season, out of the playoff conversation tonight?
It's not one of my picks, but I will tell you that it would not surprise me. Close game, field goal, I could see that happening. The quarterback, Burrow, just played out of his mind. That offense, it never looked better than it did against Georgia's defense last Saturday. So I'm thinking that that might be the best of the offense that we will see from LSU, to the point where if they fall short, it will not surprise me.
Mississippi State is 4-2 on the season. LSU is 6-1. The current football power index for both teams, Mississippi State is 12th. LSU is 10th. FBI gives LSU a 59% chance to win tonight. And I think that it's a bit of a trendy pick because it could be close. So if you're picking against a spread, I could see that pick for Mississippi State being selected. Ah, man, that's tough to just suggest that LSU is going to roll over at home. Did you see those uniforms? Did you see the helmets? They're basically Mardi Gras bead-colored helmets that LSU is going to wear tonight. They're going to change colors in the lights. That's a tough place to win on the road in the SEC.
I understand that.
Go Tigers.
But the thing is that you got to figure out whether or not do you look the part or can you actually do it on the field? You'll look like an intimidating team with those new uniforms, but can you get the job done when it counts?
Mississippi State is trying to do something it's never done, be a top five AP-ranked team on the road. The Bulldogs are 0-26 all-time on the road against top five teams. That includes a 2014 loss to Alabama when MSU had Dak Prescott, and they were number one in the country. Remember that little brief spin of time for Kalanga and Dak Prescott where they were the hot team in the nation? Well, they lost that game to Alabama. There's only two teams that have more such losses without a win in AP poll history since 1936. The other team, Vanderbilt. So Mississippi State looking to do something tonight that they've never done before.
Let me ask you this, and I know we're not to the conference title games just as of yet, but which one loss team looks likely to break that top four?
Is Georgia really just done after that loss last week?
Georgia's not going to be in the final four. Unless they beat Alabama in the title game.
Michigan today against Michigan State. If they can beat Michigan State today, that game's still in a weather delay at the moment. I mean, they're going to be the team with the sizzle, right?
I wrote them down as a choice, yes, but I need to see what else they're going to bring.
Jonathan, you're forgetting we've gone over the one-loss teams in the playoff predictor, but what about someone who's undefeated sitting on the outside looking in? UCF, the national champions from last year.
Look, man, Andrea works here at the station. I'm not going to go against her. You saw what she did last week, right? You saw her at the bar.
Pop bottles.
Popping bottles and running up and down the bar after the come-from-behind victory for UCF against Memphis, right?
Yep.
So I'm not going to be against her because she might be in the building. Andrea is
she's going to come for you, that's for sure. If you pick against her, she's coming for you.
Yes, absolutely. And that is our playoff predictor.
So you're not going to put them in? They're undefeated.
Listen,
second year in a row.
Listen, man.
So that means we have them 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. We're looking at 9 or 10 for UCF sitting on the outside looking in.
Do you have South Florida on that list, too?
I do not.
Wait a minute now. You have Central Florida, but now South Florida. They're also undefeated, are they not? Right?
Yes, they are.
Okay, well, then where's South Florida?
So is NC State till a little bit later tonight.
What if they win?
NC State, then they answer the conversation.
Look out. Yeah, look out now.
Yeah, absolutely.
Look out.
For sure.
And that is our playoff predictor right here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Ben Hartsock, the Ohio State Buckeye, will give us a preview of what we're going to see tonight. Ohio State against Purdue. Boy, that is an interesting matchup there. Purdue can lay it on you, but so can Ohio State because they're more talented. We'll get his thoughts about that matchup and more as we move on here on CCT.
All of the latest college football scores, previews, and lines. Chicago's College Tailgate on ESPN 1000. This is your home for Chicago's College Tailgate and the home for Fighting Irish football. ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
This is Chicago's College Tailgate here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app, along with Adam Abdallah and Chris Black. Jonathan Hood with you. So glad that you're with us. You heard the upset bird, right? You heard the upset bird came out. Rutgers, look out now. Look out.
Yikes.
Piscataway. Look out against Northwestern. It has been a tough season for Northwestern.
Has Northwestern shown up to any game that we expected them to play well in yet this season?
No.
Except for Michigan State on the road, and they played well, and they beat them. That's the only game. Otherwise, they've disappointed.
And they really have. As we turn to a national champion, host on ESPN Radio, and a great guy, Ben Hartsock, is with us here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app as we get ready for Purdue and Ohio State. Ben, it's Jonathan Hood and Chris Black. Thanks so much for your time.
Man, thanks for having me on. Calling out Northwestern... Northwestern is doing what Northwestern does, produce CEOs and giving contenders fits, you know?
And tripping up in September and October.
Darren Rovell, one of my all-time favorite Twitter follows, you know, a devout Northwestern fan, he talks about if he sees another guy wearing a Northwestern hat, he knows he went to school there. There are no fair-weather Northwestern fans. And, you know, look at what Northwestern did. They beat Purdue in that first opening game of the season. They gave Michigan fits, right? And beat Michigan State. So, you know, come on, give Northwestern some love.
No, not going to do that, Hartsock. Not going to do that. And the reason why we're not going to do that is because whether it's locally here in Chicago or nationally, it's always the pat on the head for Fitzgerald, the pat on the backside. And I think that Northwestern fans want to see this program, say, where Shaw has Stanford, where you're vying for much better bowl games, much better success. The tertiary, the sideways success that's maybe a step above Vanderbilt really isn't good enough for the Northwestern fan.
That's a tough sell,
right?
I love Chicago, and I come there, and it's a place to go. But have you ever been to Palo Alto?
Yeah,
I mean, that's an easy place to sell, and the fact that you get a Stanford degree, so. Anyhow, that's neither here nor there.
That's exactly right. We're keeping our eyes on number two, Ohio State, taking on Purdue, which is going to be an intriguing matchup in West Lafayette. Tell me, Ben, what stands out most about Ohio State that you've liked this year?
Well, it's more of what I don't like in the past 3 weeks here. We've watched Ohio State. Ohio State is looking eerily similar to Georgia in that you can't argue with the talent on both of those rosters, but as I watched Georgia before they got beat by LSU, they weren't dominating games. They weren't stepping on opponents' throats the way that if you're going to be the number two team ranked in the country, the way you should. And Ohio State the past 2 weeks against Minnesota last week, Indiana the previous week before that, OSU has yet to just dominate a game. Yeah, maybe they're winning by double digits. They're winning, you know, as the game progresses, they do finally pull away. but they're not winning in a way that a number two, because the reality is we're all playing to beat Alabama. You've got to dominate Minnesota. You've got to dominate Purdue today. And most, I think most Ohio State fans are looking at this game biting their nails, not just because, of the fact that they've struggled recently, but because Purdue, with the stat in the past, 10, 15 years, Ohio State has a losing record at Ross-Ade Stadium. So it's a concern.
When you look at Dwayne Haskins and his play at quarterback for Ohio State this season, 28 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, what has impressed you most about his play at quarterback?
Well, he is a guy that you've got to remember, coming into this season, nobody knew anything about Dwayne Haskins. He had a couple snaps last season, and here we are midway through the season, and he's kind of the second place to Tua as far as the Heisman candidate. Like, he's a legitimate Heisman candidate. So credit to Dwayne Haskins that he came in to a white-hot spotlight, being the starting quarterback for Ohio State that is a national championship-caliber team, and he has not blinked. I've just been so blown away. There was a lot of debate in Columbus leading up to the season between whether Joe Burrow should play ahead of Dwayne Haskins, and even Tate Martell, the third-string quarterback at Ohio State, was getting a little bit of play. But that was all put to bed. It did not take long of watching Dwayne Haskins play this year that when you keep his feet clean, he is magic. But the problem is, and part of my concern with Ohio State going down the stretch here, is starting with the TCU game, there's been a recipe to make Dwayne Haskins look very human, to make him look very pedestrian, and that's getting people around his feet. That's getting him, making him have to throw the ball a little bit off time, a little bit without his feet set. And so that recipe is out there right now, and teams are trying to replicate that. But when you give Dwayne Haskins a clean pocket and time to go through his progression, he's gonna throw a ball that's second to none in college football this season.
Ben Hartsock, a national champion, working with ESPN Radio with Chris Bleck and Jonathan Hood on Chicago's College Tailgate on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Ben, the thing that surprised me about Ohio State is their defense. Are you surprised at some of the big chunks that they surrender defensively almost game in, game out?
Well, yes and no. Ohio State is like, the perennial powerhouses around the country in that every year they're losing NFL talent. Marshawn Lattimore, the kid that went to Cleveland last year, Denzel Ward. So they're constantly having to replenish these skill positions, defensive back positions. Ohio State, is kind of calling itself DBU. They're in a debate with LSU about who's DBU. But coming into this, yeah, there were positions that needed to be replaced. But we thought that they were going to be sure it was just going to be the next wave of five stars that Urban was going to plug in back there. But the problem is that they've struggled, giving up big plays. You look at this matchup against Purdue today, and that is a concern for Ohio State fans, is that Ohio State defense, who has given up big plays, one of the worst teams in the country, had given up big plays going up against the Purdue team that leads in big plays. So that they're going to have to straighten that out. But for Ohio State people, they have to look at this game and say there needs to be a game where Ohio State finally exerts itself, and it needs to be a game like this because in Ross-Ade, because of some of those historical factors that have to get ironed out. But the reality is, as an Ohio State fan, I'm a little nervous going into this game tonight.
Alabama, the number one team in the country, goes to Rocky Top to face Tennessee later on this afternoon. Some have questioned the resume that Alabama's built to this point. Do you agree with that based on the fact that them being the best team in the country, or is it just one of those things you say they are so good at this moment, it doesn't matter who they're playing?
Yeah, it's kind of the debate of UCF versus Alabama. UCF, if they go undefeated, they have to play every game against a Power 5 opponent before they'll be taken legitimate. So Alabama is the exact opposite of that. They're legitimate, so there's no benefit to them to playing an overly challenging schedule because they are Alabama and their pressure at least precedes them, so they don't have to do that. Now, to their credit, the games that they have played, they've done nothing but exert their dominance. There have been no trip-ups along the way. You've watched it throughout this football season. Nick Saban is trying to manufacture controversies, trying to beg the media to say something critical of his team so that he can go and show his team, say, look, you know what? People don't think that you're that great. So this game, I look at this game similar to the Texas A&M game. Tennessee gets a statement win for Jeremy Pruitt last week. How are they going to respond? Maybe try to build, what would happen there in Knoxville if they knock off the Giants? But Alabama going into playing against Texas A&M early in the season, Texas A&M only hung around for a little bit. Going into Knoxville today, I anticipate that Tennessee is going to play excited, knock at the door for a little while, but it won't take long for the Crimson Tide to gap that team.
Ben, on the outside looking in with this Michigan-Michigan State rivalry for you as a Buckeye, I want to get your thoughts on Jim Harbaugh and the job that he's done. I said earlier to Chris, I said, I think Michigan has turned a corner. After that loss against Notre Dame, I think that they're playing a lot better, and they take on Michigan State. So if they're able to beat Sparty, that's going to really be a feather in their cap. What stands out most about Michigan in the season that they've had so far?
Yeah, Michigan is the beneficiary of losing early. If you're going to lose a football game in the tournament, every week is a single game elimination tournament for the college football playoff. Michigan had the benefit of losing early, and they've kind of quietly, now that they're not in that national discussion, they're able to kind of go to work and develop and build the character of their team. And, if you look at Michigan, outside of that Wisconsin game, you look at their strength of schedule. It's a little bit of a condemnation of the Big Ten because they didn't dominate against Northwestern. That was a 20-17 game. They what is Maryland this year? They're going through their own struggles with DJ Durkin being gone. So I think Michigan is a quality team. They're a contender for the college football national championship. But I think that right now they're riding a little bit of a high. They played the marquee game last week against Wisconsin and made a good statement win. But here's the reality: this Michigan State game is no cakewalk. They have to play Penn State next week, and then they still have to go to Ohio State. So I don't think Michigan gets through that stretch of three games unscathed.
Ben, is it a bad look for Nick Bosa to leave Ohio State and kind of get ready and get healthy for the NFL draft in this spring?
Philosophically, I'm kind of conflicted on this because I am of the opinion that individuals should have freedoms to do what they would like to do and should not be hamstrung along that choice. But I will, it's right for Nick Bosa as an individual, but it will affect his legacy, in my opinion, as an alum of Ohio State, if that makes sense, that he has the right to do it. And it's, you can't argue that it's the right thing for Nick Bosa to do, to think about himself, because the reality is Jake Budd at Michigan a couple years ago, Jalen Smith, the linebacker for Notre Dame before that, have both had injuries playing down the stretch that affected, they lost millions of dollars by doing that. But if you play the game of football to not thinking about injury, you're already injured. And so I wouldn't have made that choice myself. I think that down the road, if building a legacy is part of what you're trying to accomplish as a great football player, I think this hurts Nick Bosa's legacy. I think Ohio State fans understand it, and they will move past it. But deep down, the reason that JT Barrett, the quarterback at Ohio State, is so revered is because he was there for so long. He was so selfless during his time that was there. It's a totally different situation, but nonetheless, Ohio State fans are loyal to their university, and they love their players that stay true to the Buckeye brand. And Nick Bosa made a choice that is right for him. I don't think anybody begrudges him for it, but it does affect the legacy that you leave behind you.
Ben, as always, we appreciate your time, and I already got your Christmas gift picked out because I was ordering it while we were talking. I got you a nice, fresh Northwestern cap for you to wear.
Harvard of the Midwest.
I appreciate it, buddy. Thanks so much for coming on our show.
Right. Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
It is Ben Hartsock, the former national champion with the Ohio State Buckeyes, and does a great job on ESPN Radio with us here on Chicago's College Tailgate. Time for a CCT scoreboard.
The CCT scoreboard on ESPN 1000.
It's halftime for Oklahoma and TCU, 28-24. Oklahoma with a four-point lead. They were up big early, but TCU has stormed back. 17 points scored by the Horned Frogs in the second quarter. So it's 28-24 at halftime in that one. Michigan and Michigan State still delayed. No score early in the first quarter. They are trying to resume that probably within the next 10 minutes. So we'll have an update at the top of the hour at 1 o'clock for that matchup coming up here on CCT. Illinois and Wisconsin. Wisconsin's up big, 28-7, with 7 seconds left in the second quarter in that matchup. Iowa, early third quarter, leads 13-0 on Maryland at the moment. 10-10, Cincinnati and Temple at halftime. Cincinnati's a 20th-ranked team in the country. A lot of people, even Corso and others, picking Cincinnati to win today against Temple. Other games going on in the top 25, Northwestern and Rutgers. Rutgers leads 12-7 at halftime in that matchup. And that's the top 25 scoreboard in the Big Ten right here on CCT.
Let's piggyback on the Nick Bosa conversation. Let's talk about that coming up next. And don't forget, some Kentucky Wildcats conversation. Matt Jones will be with us. Mr. Kentucky Sports, we'll hear from him coming up at 1:10.
Chicago's College Tailgate on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Chicago's College Tailgate on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Jonathan Adam and Chris with you here on Chicago's College Tailgate on ESPN 1000, the ESPN app. Yes, Nick Bosa's decision was for him to concentrate on the NFL and move away from Ohio State. Tim Tebow had thoughts.
Listen, your brother's making tens of millions, and he could support you. Listen, he's your brother. And you're probably, even if you get injured, you're still going to be a high draft pick. But I get that it's a huge, it's a lot of money. It's life-changing. So I understand that. I'm not trying to knock him for it. I'm just trying to say that when you look back, when you're a grandfather, wouldn't you love to take your grandkids back to Ohio State and say, look, no one thought we could beat Alabama, and they had this Heisman Trophy winner in Tua Tagovailoa, but I came back for the semifinal. We're number four. We beat the number one team. Like, I just believe in putting it all out there. I'm putting my chips in. You know what? If I lose, I lose. But at least I'm going down, giving everything I have.
Tim Tebow, what his thoughts about Bosa? So what do you think?
I get the financial decision behind it. Nick Bosa, coming into the season, was in the conversation for the Heisman as a defensive player along with Ed Oliver. He was the best college football defensive player in the country. The fact that he wants to go to the pros and get his body right, I get it. Listen, his family has been using Ohio State as a stepping stone to get to the NFL the entire time. So if that's what he wants to do, he hasn't been there to begin with. Let him go.
Yeah. But you're going to stand from Tebow's standpoint, because he's Mr. College Football. He just wants to talk about the lineage and the history of you being a college football player, to look back. But really, the big picture is the NFL, and he's destined for it.
I get it from Tebow. He's the one that cried with a passionate speech about the fact that he let the Gator Nation down when they lost a game, and then they went on to win the national championship.
The promise.
This is what he lives for. Unfortunately, it sounds like the Bosa family does not live for college football, and that's why they made the decision they made.
We'll talk more about this decision moving forward, but coming up next, Eli Gold, the veteran voice of the Alabama Crimson Tide, the number one team in the country. As you're going to do it. Go ahead. You're going to do it. The mouth was, it was turned.
Roll Tide.
I knew that was coming. You had it ready.
Roll Tide.
So we will talk. You'll hear from Eli Gold, the veteran voice of the Alabama Crimson Tide. Also some Kentucky thoughts as well from Matt Jones.
Chicago's College Tailgate on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Touchdown.
Love college football.
Can he take this home?
You've come to the right place.
He's gone! Touchdown again, Josh Adams!
This is your home for Chicago's College Tailgate.
Downfield looking for Godwin into his hands, and guess which dogs are barking first? Ugga, get after it!
Chicago's College Tailgate.
Fires to the end zone. Touchdown! Alabama wins!
On ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
The game is over! The Wildcats prevail!
It's time for Chicago's College Tailgate on ESPN 1000.
The open field. It's the corner!
Got a great block! Unbelievable! 56 yards! Touchdown, USC!
This is Chicago's College Tailgate, along with Chris Black and Adam Abdallah. Here's Jonathan Hood.
It's week 8 for Chicago's College Tailgate here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Adam Abdallah is off, along with Chris Black, Jonathan Hood with you. So glad that you're with us. Coming up in 10 minutes, we'll hear from Colin Wilson from the Action Network and TheAthletic.com. Also, we'll have our Saturday night special picks. We've been doing well this year. Just ask us. We'll have our Saturday night special picks coming up at the bottom of the hour.
Don't laugh at Northwestern. Finally in the lead against Rutgers. Don't laugh at them, Jonathan. It's been tough on the road.
It's been tough at home. It's been tough everywhere.
It's been a tough season. Usually we look at Northwestern football, and maybe some of the in the city here in Chicago may say that you and I are maybe haters of the program.
No.
We just always warn people that the Wildcats usually trip up in September. And unfortunately, they've tripped up in October this year, too, and that's tough.
Just give us something to watch. That's all. That's all I ever ask.
Yeah, be interesting.
Whether you're Chicago's Big Ten team or the team down 57, I just look at Illinois, who's getting spanked now by Wisconsin. Just give us something to watch. That's all I'm asking for as we do Chicago's College Tailgate every single Saturday right here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at ESPN 1000 CCT for Chicago's College Tailgate. A game that we will have circle and keep our eyes on ESPN will be number 3 Clemson taking on number 16 NC State. Clemson 6-0 on the season, and as we talked about earlier on, Clemson making a change at quarterback and things that really worked out well for them. This game will be played at Memorial Stadium, and Clemson coming off a victory, huge victory against Wake, 63-3. The teams that they've defeated, Furman, Texas A&M, Georgia Southern, Georgia Tech, Syracuse, and Wake. And now the rest of that schedule, Chris, is at Florida State, against Louisville, at BC, against Duke, and against South Carolina. So we got to keep our eyes on the rest of that schedule, but I think it's very winnable. I think that Clemson very well could run the table for this season.
And it's important to watch this Tiger team, because once Clemson moved quarterback to Trevor Lawrence, he, since that time, he leads the ACC in touchdown to interception ratio. He has 11 touchdowns to 2 interceptions this season. In his 2 starts since Kelly Bryant transferred out of the program, his quarterback QBR has not been great, though. It's at 51.7. That's down from what it was when he was the backup at 87.7. So the thing to kind of look at is Clemson undefeated to this point. They're playing well. But Trevor Lawrence has not really tapped into the potential that I think Dabo Swinney thought he would have when he made the quarterback decision to switch to Trevor Lawrence, and Kelly Bryant left the program. So, you know, this team, as you said, has a great opportunity. I know the playoff predictor and the FBI is suggesting that Clemson has an 82% chance to get into the college football playoff. Today's a big test, though. 16th ranked NC State, undefeated, coming in to play Clemson. They have a good quarterback, Ryan Finley. He's thrown for 1,600 yards. He has 10 touchdowns, 3 interceptions on the season. It's going to be a good game, but I think Clemson will get them today.
Let's hear now from Dabo Swinney, the head coach for Clemson. Clemson, again, undefeated going into this game, this rivalry game against NC State.
Number 3 Clemson versus number 16 NC State.
Every week, that same mindset that, you know, anybody can beat us and all that, but you know, as you go through your course of your season, and I think that's why we've been so consistent, is our guys really buy into that philosophy. But there's certain games along the way that got a little extra juice to them. And, you know, this is definitely the case, because I think Dave's been there long enough. They've had good continuity and they've done a nice job of recruiting and developing their players and staying true to the things that they believe in. And then we've had incredibly competitive games, and we've been able to win them, but they've been incredibly competitive. The fact that, you know, I think they went down and beat Florida State maybe last year, I think, was a big win for them. And so since I've been the head coach, you mentioned Clemson, Florida State. It's pretty much in our division, it's kind of been the winner of the Clemson Florida State game is the one that's gone to the ACC championship game. I don't think anybody but Clemson and Florida State since I've been the head coach. But I think NC State has definitely changed that. And, you know, even last year, I don't remember who finished second, but I know they had a really good year and they probably were right there. But they've done a good job, man. They've done a nice job, like I said, recruiting, developing their guys, kind of just really building a good program. And you got to give Dave a lot of credit for that.
Dabo Swinney, the head coach for Clemson, number two defensively, Chris. And you take a look at Clemson, 186 yards per game below the season average. They are very solid defensively, really the hallmark of Clemson Tiger football.
You look at Ryan Finley, he's in his third year for NC State. And I think to go with the conversation about defense, what this is going to come down to is the Clemson Tigers being able to attack the quarterback for NC State, because Finley has only been sacked twice this season, and just on 1% of his dropbacks this season, it's the second fewest in all of college football. Yet he's going against a defense that is one of the best in college football. So Clemson's defense this season, when it comes to pressuring the quarterback, pressure percentage, they're number one with 54% in the country. Quarterback contact percentage, so the amount of times that their defense can contact a quarterback, first in the country. Sack percentage, 13%, second in the country. So Clemson, one of the best defensive front sevens in all of college football, going against a quarterback that's been upright and been able to put up some big numbers for NC State. So that, I think, right there, and what Dabo talked about, and what you talked about, Jonathan, is how this game will be played out.
Some thoughts now from Trevor Maddich from ESPN, talking about NC State. Again, we've talked about number 16 team in the country in NC State, who has played terrific football in their own right. NC State, the Wolfpack, coming in 5-0 on the season. The teams that they have defeated, before we hear from Trevor, and they had one cancellation in the middle against West Virginia. So, but against you know, not so great opponents. One of them would be, JMU. I'm looking at the logo. Was it? I know it was Georgia State, Marshall, Boston College, and also Virginia. And they also had their win at the beginning of the season. You know JMU, James Madison, right?
James Madison.
James Madison, right. Okay. So they defeated James Madison. And so maybe the resume is not great, but again, it's a team that's undefeated going against Clemson. Trevor Maddich, NC State has upset potential.
Even though they're on the road, I think NC State probably has the best chance to pull off the win. And it's because of the nature of their passing attack. Texas A&M in week two set the template of how to move the ball and score against this Clemson defense, and that is big receivers making plays, especially in the middle of the field. Well, NC State has those guys. They've got a deep stable of big receivers that are highly skilled, and a quarterback in Ryan Finley who will be in the NFL next year. And Texas A&M, as good as they were throwing the ball against the Tigers, NC State is better.
So thoughts there from Trevor Maddich. You know, I was clicking this game.
Yeah.
They won't even give me a box score. Was that embarrassing for NC State?
Well, this, I mean, you know, it's a just kind of.
It was 24-13 victory. I can't, because I was clicking on it just to make sure I had the right school.
You know, administrative assistants don't upload the box score. It's fair. You know, just put it in the win column and move along, right? If you look at their strength of schedule, they're the 16th ranked team in the country, NC State. Their strength of schedule is 73. The only two teams that have a worst strength of schedule that's above them in the top 25 rankings would be UCF, which is ranked 10th. Their strength of schedule is 122. Oh. And Oregon, which is ranked 12th, their strength of schedule is 87. So to your point, Jonathan, yeah, they haven't really put together an impressive schedule that they've won to this point. But if you beat Clemson, that kind of changes things. If you go to 6-0 with a Clemson Tiger on your resume,
look out
pretty
now.
Good. That's pretty good.
Look out now. Rest of it, Syracuse, Florida State, Wake Forest, Louisville, North Carolina, and Eastern Carolina, who is terrible.
Yeah.
Dave Doran, former NIU coach, talking about the physical rivalry between Clemson and NC State, the head coach for the Wolfpack.
It's always physical. You know, I mean, they always have enormous linemen on both sides of the ball, and their backers are physical, and it's a war inside. There's no question about it. There's a lot of contact plays. The rivalry tends to help with that as well. But, you know, they've got good football players that strike, and so do we, and both teams want it. So, you know, I expect it to be a great football game that way.
Also, don't forget now, coming up.
Go Tigers.
LSU.
Go Tigers.
Don't forget about them now.
Go Tigers.
They are a real contender. LSU, Mississippi State, you'll be watching that game, won't you?
Yeah, absolutely. We look at this one. It's a matchup that will be on ESPN at 6 o'clock tonight. Mississippi State's 4-2 on the season. LSU 6-1. But I think LSU, to this point in the season, Jonathan, they probably have the three most impressive wins if we go week to week throughout the college football season. And what we saw LSU do last week against Georgia, very impressive. Hopefully they don't get upset tonight against Mississippi State.
You're listening to Chicago's College Tailgate on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Glad that you are with us here. We turn now to Colin Wilson, friend of the program from the Action Network and theathletic.com. He joins us here on Chicago's College Tailgate. Colin, it's Jonathan and Chris. Thanks so much for your time.
Hey, thanks for having me on, guys. I'm ready to hit some winners today.
Absolutely. Before we talk about some of the afternoon and night affairs, anything early stood out to you as far as maybe Michigan State or some other games that stood out to you for the 12 o'clock Eastern kicks?
Yeah, I was impressed with how Miami of Ohio, you might hear some really bad games here, but I was impressed with Miami of Ohio, how they've been able to keep it with Army. Miami of Ohio hasn't seen the triple option yet this year, but they have a really stout rush defense. And heading into further MAC play, Gus Ragland, who's been around for Miami of Ohio for a really long time, if you can remember that Mississippi State close call bowl, I think it was the St. Pete Bowl a couple of years ago. Ragland has been very efficient in his last four games. He has another good game today. He's got Buffalo next week, I think, for the MAC East. So that's going to be, a really big game as far as the MAC goes. Michigan State, there's just not a lot of points being scored here. We got a really terrible field goal attempt here from the Michigan kicker. That was one of the worst kicks I've seen in college football history. It would have got the cover of the 7 there, but the under bettors, the under opened up at over under was 47.5, and it got all the way down to 38.5, and I know with the weather issues, that is still an extremely low number, but it looks good for the under bettors right now.
As we get ready for the 2:30 Central Time kicks, a game we've been talking about for the last 15 minutes, NC State and Clemson, which side are the sharps? Mm-hmm. Which side should we be on in this game?
Yeah, I would say every person I've talked to this week has come to me and said, I'm betting everything that I've got on NC State, and it's because Ryan Finley is amazing. Look what Syracuse has done. Look what Texas A&M has done. And that's my whole rebuttal to them. I took Clemson minus 16.5. I would take them again at 17. My whole rebuttal to them is, yeah, look at Texas A&M and look at Syracuse. They have mobile quarterbacks with Dungy, with Kellen Mond. Now, even though Kellen Mond didn't have a big day rushing outside of the box, he's respectable enough to where Clemson has to keep an extra guy or two inside of the, around the line of scrimmage to keep spy on him. Ryan Finley's a statue behind the line of scrimmage. He's not a threat to take off. And NC State's rushing attack ranks in the bottom 10 in efficiency and explosiveness in the FBS. So they're a very one-dimensional offense, which means Clemson is going to be able to send this NFL-caliber defensive front line just right away, trying to sack every time and be able to drop 7 guys into coverage every down. So it's a one-dimensional offense that I think Clemson's going to take advantage of.
Well, also interested in Ohio State and Purdue coming up at 6:30 Central Time, right, on ABC. It's an interesting matchup, Colin, because you're talking about Ohio State defense that gets gashed, and then Purdue, from their standpoint, they have playmakers and can get down the field. How do you see that game?
Absolutely. I think there's a couple things. I'm on Purdue. I got them at 14 this week. It's at 13. I would take it at 13. The money line is at plus 360. I would invest it a little bit in that during the week. And here's the reason why. There's no shot that Ohio State could lose this game, right? Well, Penn State really kind of put down the blueprint, which is get some pressure on Haskins, make Haskins uncomfortable, make Haskins move around the pocket. And what happened with Penn State is they were able to do that, and they had to completely, Ryan Day had to switch around the offensive game plan so that there were screens and bubble screens and just get the ball out of Haskins' hands as quick as possible. Now, on the defensive side of the ball, Ohio State's defense has major issues with explosiveness on the ground and through the air, and they can't defend it. Purdue is 8th in rushing explosiveness, and they're 20th in passing explosiveness, so you're going to see a lot of Rondell Moore catching the ball tonight and running crazy. DJ Knox, the running back, is going to run crazy. Purdue is set up to have a really good run here. And as far as that pressure goes on Haskins, people may not realize this, but in passing downs, Purdue ranks 22nd in the nation in sack rate. That was a little shocking to me when I did my research, because Purdue's defense is really not something you want to bet on. But when you look at their sack rate, they're getting to the quarterback when it's time to pass.
2:30 game on CBS, Alabama and Tennessee. Alabama's the best team in the country. They're 7-0, but they're 4-3 against the spread. Do you think they can cover this one? I'm seeing 29.5 against Tennessee today.
Yeah, to full honesty, I make my own power ratings, do them for the Action Network. I have this at 28.5, so there's no value in the number up or down. I think what we really got to look out for is how much is Tua going to play? How is that sprained knee? If this goes to a Jalen Hurts game, it becomes a running game immediately, which has an effect on the total. It has an effect on the spread. So if you are one of those people like me that live bets games, kind of like day trading a stock, if this turns into a Jalen Hurts game early, let's say we get the Tua drive in and he scores within 30 seconds like he did against my alma mater, Arkansas, and they go straight to Jalen Hurts, and if you have the ability to play this live, that's a good spread for Tennessee, and it's a you definitely went under the total if it's going to go to a running attack.
Colin, what's safer when it comes to Alabama? Do you want to do live gaming, or do you want to go quarter by quarter? Because you don't know if Tua's when he's going to be out of the game. You don't know when he's going to be in the game. Right. So how difficult is that for sharps?
It's been changing weekly, and that's the big discussion that we're all having. I mean, I have people that are not – I have people that completely agree with my outlook on Alabama and people that disagree, and that's because it's a different Alabama team by quarter. So there was a few weeks all of us were taking advantage of taking Alabama first half just because we knew what they were going to be able to do. But bookmakers have caught up to that. I mean, these spreads of 28 for the full game, bookmakers are now making the first half to, line 21 or 24. I mean, it's ridiculous because – they've caught on to the fact that some of us are making some money off the first halves. And at the same time, teams like, ULL, Arkansas, Texas A&M, these teams are covering the full game against Alabama because they're taking their foot off the pedal in the fourth quarter. So it really, there's going to be one of these weeks where Alabama just decides to go full throttle the entire four quarters. I don't think this is it with Tennessee because they have a bye week and Alabama desperately needs to get healthy. So they're just 1 week away from getting to the bye week. I think this is one of those kinds of games where you take Tennessee full game and maybe even take Tennessee in a live bet whenever they decide Tua is going to come out of the game and we're going to put in garbage time second stringers on both sides of the ball.
We talked about one underdog in NC State that it seems like everyone's on. The other one would be Mississippi State. They're at LSU, and it seems like everyone is saying take Mississippi State in this contest. What do you think?
I am on Mississippi State myself. It's not my largest wager of the day. It's down to 5.5. I got it at 7 earlier in the week, and it was really came down to this. LSU is on their third, I don't know if you want to say emotional, but it's at least their third real physical game in a row. We're talking Florida. We're talking Georgia. And now they've got Mississippi State, who is just brutal in the trenches. I mean, they are big boys in the trenches. They'll beat you up on both sides of the ball. The key to Mississippi State is what Kentucky did to them, which is if you can contain Nick Fitzgerald, and you can keep Nick Fitzgerald from running on the ground, that forces him to pass. And he has major issues with completion percentage rate, major accuracy issues. Kentucky just laid out the blueprint and said, we're going to shut down the run. We're going to go all out, shut down the run, and we're going to make you pass against us. And that's why Mississippi State looked so bad in that ball game. So it comes down to, can LSU's defensive line shut down Nick Fitzgerald? The answer, according to the metrics, is no. There are things out there called stuff rate and opportunity rate. They measure what offensive lines can do for 2 yard gains, for letting defenders get into the gaps and get into the backfield. And LSU's offensive line is not outstanding whatsoever. They've had some hurt players in the offensive line, some moving around of positions. So I expect Nick Fitzgerald to be able to run, and I expect him to be able to cover the number that's posted out there. Beating LSU is a different thing. I think Mississippi State can get the cover here. I don't like them to win the game, though.
Colin Wilson from the Action Network and theathletic.com with Jonathan and Chris on Chicago's College Tailgate on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Colin, game day was there today at Martin Stadium in Pullman, Washington for Washington State against Oregon. How do you see the matchup? Because I've seen it split. Some are believing that Oregon get it done, but then maybe it's the emotion of people seeing like 5,000 fans on game day for Washington State. So how do you see the matchup?
Yeah, Mike Leach owns Oregon. I mean, it's just a fact that that Washington State has won, covered. They've done everything over the past decade, and it doesn't matter who the coach is at Oregon. Mike Leach just owns these guys. But there's a different cap to this that some of us sharp guys are talking about and that we like with Washington. I'm sorry, with Oregon, which is Washington State is an air raid offense, and Leach makes comments all the time about how when he gets off of a break, his quarterback and his wide receivers are completely out of sync. Now, you go back and think about this. The last 2 years, Mike Leach has gone to a bowl in San Diego. They've looked terrible. They've gotten, taken to the woodshed. Every time they've come off a bye, they don't cover against the spread. They've had games open up the season against teams like Portland State and lost those games because Mike Leach has a problem with the timing and his offense in the air raid with the quarterbacks and the receivers. So he's had 2 weeks off to prepare for this, and I think that actually benefits an Oregon team here. So I have not made an official play on this game. Oh. I know that my power number says Oregon should be favored. I think I'm going to get down on the Ducks before the game. Not for a lot, but I really do believe in the fact that Washington State does get out of sync over long gaps on their offense with the air raid.
Colin, I have my eye on a late night creep with Nevada and Hawaii. I believe it yes. kicks off at 11:59 Central Time.
Perfect.
Is that a game you're going to play, or is there something else late night that you're looking to play tonight?
The late night creep.
I write this column for the Action Network called Sunday Morning Coffee, and what I do is I predict what the opening lines are going to be in Las Vegas and the offshore for the following week, and I write that at 1 o'clock in the morning during these Hawaii games. So I've had a diet, a steady diet of Hawaii.
Yeah.
I mean, guys, there's nothing that feels more dirtier in the world when Cole McDonald is announced out for a game, a line moves 6 points, and Wyoming can't even win the game or cover any of the numbers. There's just something going on with the island here that's just a little sick. That being said, I have money on Hawaii, -3. There's just things. The Pac doesn't play defense at all. Nevada, they're an option. They're a defense optional team, and they're even worse when they're on the road. So I like Cole McDonald in the spot. They've got to keep pace if they want to have any shot at a conference championship game. So, you know, I like Hawaii in the spot, but, man, it is the island, and it is one of those midnight games, and just be prepared to have your heart broken and your wallet in.
Colin, we appreciate it as always, man. Thanks so much for coming on the show.
All right, thanks a lot, guys.
It is Colin Wilson. Again, don't forget to read him on theathletic.com and also the Action Network. By the way, as we get ready for our scoreboard and we got to get to our picks, is it something when you are researching? It's one thing to look at numbers, right? You go to your Bovada or whoever your sports book, and you go online and say, okay, you know, I got a gut feeling about this, or I know the trend is this. He's going by sound bites. That's another little key there. Sound bites from the Washington State coach about how they are after a bye. That's really doing the deep dive and the digging to determine where you want to put your money.
You know, the thing with college football is there's just so much information. You can go numbers, you can go eye test, you can go sound bites. I mean, there are so many teams across the country, and that's why there are spots for value to make money, because if you are able to find that little edge, that advantage, something like Mike Leach talking midweek here in Chicago, and probably not many people listen to what Mike Leach had to say during the week up in Wazoo. But if you're able to consume some of that information and use it to your advantage, that's fantastic. That's what it's all about.
I mean, getting all the information possible before you put your money out there. Illinois loses, by the way. That'll be the lead for Chris Black and his college scoreboard coming up. Also, our Saturday night specials next.
You love college football? Tailgate with us.
A what?
It's time to put money in your pocket.
We're going to make it a few bucks on the side.
It's the Saturday night special.
You want some of this, don't you?
Yeah.
Well, you need to know the winner. And I know the winner.
It's time to put money in your pocket. It's the Saturday Night Special on Chicago's College Tailgate on ESPN 1000.
All right, place your bet.
Mr. Saturday Night Special. Got a barrel that's blue and gold. That ain't good for nothing.
It's our Saturday Night Specials here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN app. Along with Chris Bleck and Adam Abdallah, Jonathan Hood with you. Adam is off today, but you know what? He still has specials for us. You know
yes.
that, right?
All right. I'm glad he decided to participate. We can get his bets. We make some money off of what he's telling us.
Just the opposite, right? Is that what you're saying?
No, let's place the bets. Let's do it. Let's get ready.
All right.
So Abdallah's on a beach in Mexico, yet he's still sending his Saturday night special picks into us.
Yes.
Fantastic. See, even on vacation, all he can think about on the beach is how to make money in college football. See, that's good. That's good stuff.
Nothing wrong with that, right? Let me start off first. Let me get these in here quickly because there's going to be a couple of kickoffs. So let me start here quickly. Yeah. UTEP taking on Louisiana Tech.
Late night.
No, early. No, 2:30 kick. Louisiana Tech 4-2. Look at Eric looking up, trying to figure out how to put that game on the TV. You're going to be looking for a long time, pal. They'll be looking for UTEP.
It's all right. I'm going to give them a game later that does not have a TV channel. Seriously.
So this has not been the smoothest of seasons for Louisiana Tech, but this is the light and easy part of the slate, right? Mm-hmm. The offense hasn't done what it's supposed to do, and the passing game isn't quite there just as of yet. Now, the Miners, the story about the Miners is this. Just like the Cleveland Browns, you have to, if UTEP finally wins a game and they're 0-6, if they win a game, Bud Light will hook them up with beer.
Huh.
Now, this is the issue with Cleveland and so now with the Browns. And so UTEP is under this thing, too. Win a game, we'll take off the chains, and you'll be able to get some beer. Well, here's what I'm looking at. I saw the number this morning on Bovada as UTEP was a 22-point underdog against Louisiana Tech, as I mentioned, 4-2. I say go the other way. 0-6, but UTEP will keep it close. I love UTEP plus the 22 against Louisiana Tech. Chris?
Okay, for my first game, let's take a look at the defending national champions. They're undefeated to this point in the season. They were undefeated last season. Of course, I'm talking about UCF, the Golden Knights. And that's a joke. They did not win the national championship, but they did go undefeated last season, and they were fantastic. Mackenzie Milton has been great for the Knights this season. They're playing East Carolina. Here's the key in this one. Per game, UCF has scored 45.7 points per game. East Carolina, they've scored over 20 per game. They've scored 23 points per game. The number that I see right now is 65. I think UCF is going to put up at least 40 to 45 points today. East Carolina is going to give you at least 20, and that's going to go over. I'm taking the over in the UCF-East Carolina matchup.
All right, love that. Let's now turn to...
Roll Tide, Lovey Smith, 10-win beard, 3-win coach.
We're going to go out there. We're going to play the game. We're going to get the game come to us. We're going to play some defense. They're going to play some defense. We're going to run the ball. We're going to eat some gumbo, run the ball some more, get some etouffee. You know how it is. We're going to do it. We're going to run the ball. Go Dawgs.
Wait, what was that last one?
So Adam Abdallah now with gives his pick. His first pick for a Saturday night special.
First up, we are going to go down to the SEC for a hard-nosed matchup. Mississippi State plus 6.5 against LSU. LSU ready for a letdown game after they beat the Dogs. This is going to be a tough SEC matchup. It's going to be some hard-nosed football down there in the South. Both teams 3-2 against the spread. S&P Plus has this spread at LSU minus 2.5. We're going to go Mississippi State plus 6.5. You know Edwards Rod's going to have those boys up for them game. They're going to go out there. They're going to play some football. They're going to get some gumbo and go out there and play defense. They're going to play defense. They're going to be great. They're going to be good. Go Dogs. But I like Mississippi State plus 6.5 for my first pick.
So there you go. So Mississippi State. Hold on. Hold on.
What?
That's it.
He's doing his picks this way from now on. He's not allowed to do them live anymore. Abdallah has to do them pre-recorded from now on. That was fantastic.
You guys notice in his Ogeron impersonation, he keeps saying "Go Dogs."
Yes. Go Dogs,
which is great.
And gumbo.
Jacking it up even more.
Yeah,
go Tigers.
My second play is the same play of Chris Bleck, and that is UCF and East Carolina. UCF. I have it at minus 22.5. You have the same number or you have a different number?
Let me find that for you.
I think you said...
I'm taking the over of 65.
Oh, you're taking the over. Yeah. You're taking the over. Okay, so I saw it at 22.5. I'm not afraid.
It's right now 21.5.
Okay. All right. You know what? I'll scratch that out then. 21.5. I love Central Florida to not only win the game but also be able to carry it. And here's why. East Carolina lost to Old Dominion. Okay, and they have been absolutely brutal this year. Hard time being able to score. You would think that there would be a shootout, but I don't see that. I see that UCF will be able to dominate this game. Give me Central Florida minus 21.5 against East Carolina, Chris.
All right, for my next game, I'm sticking with my theme for my first pick where I picked an over of two teams playing against each other. I'm going to do the same thing here. Minnesota at Nebraska, PJ Fleck. Going against Scott Frost, and the Nebraska Cornhuskers have yet to win, but I think what we're going to see in this matchup is a lot of points. The over-under that I'm seeing is 55.5, and I'm going to take the over in this matchup. I don't care who wins. I just want people to score touchdowns, and I think when you have one of the worst teams in the Power 5 in Nebraska on the field, I think a lot of points in favor of the Golden Gophers, but I think at times Nebraska will be able to score on Minnesota as well, so I'm going to take the over in this matchup.
Over the number is what?
Over 55.5.
Over 55.5, Nebraska and Minnesota. All right, row your boat there. And now we move on to Adam Abdallah's second pick.
Roll Tide. Lovie Smith, 10-win beard. 3-win coach. For my second pick, we are going to go to the Big Ten. Purdue and Ohio State. Ohio State is 1-4 against the spread. Purdue 4-1 against the spread. What happened last time Ohio State went into a road game favored by 13 or more points? Oh, that's right. They lost to Iowa by 31 and they weren't allowed in the college football playoff. Hey, Ohio State, don't lose by 31. Win the game. You'll probably make the playoff. But I like Purdue plus 13 here against Ohio State in the Big Ten.
Okay, Purdue plus 13 against Ohio State in West Lafayette.
Well, where's the impersonation of someone participating in that game, Abdallah?
We're going to go out there. We're going to play the game. We're going to get the game come to us. We're going to play some defense.
All right. So now we move on to Ohio State-Purdue for my third pick for Saturday Night Specials.
There you go.
You know what? I've heard from Colin Wilson.
Yeah.
I've heard from Adam Abdallah.
Sure.
I've heard from College Game Day.
Uh-huh.
A little afraid.
Oh, no.
A little afraid. But I will take the over 68. I will take that. I think it's going to be a slobber knocker. I think it's going to go back and forth. And here's why. It's what we talked about earlier, Chris, as far as you have Purdue. They have playmakers. They can be able to get the job done offensively. I think in the Big Ten, the plays – in the Big Ten, they have more plays over 25 yards and more than any team in the Big Ten. As far as their defense is concerned, for Ohio State, 117th, 25 yards or more surrendered. That's a ton. They give up a ton of yardage, Ohio State. Now, I think Ohio State's going to win the game, flat out. But I'm afraid of which way to swing as far as Purdue and Ohio State. But so I'll just take the safe 68 and go over Ohio State Purdue 68.
All right.
How about you?
That sounds good. I agree with you. I don't know what's going to happen between these two teams, so root for the points.
Ohio State's going to win the game.
Yeah, they're going to win.
I just don't know about keeping it close in West Lafayette. I don't know about that.
You struggle with Northwestern at home, so are you going to give, you know, I get it. You're in a primetime spot against a top team, but I see what you're doing there. I get it. All right, my last pick, Jonathan. This is a game that you can't watch on TV. It's not because of your cable provider. It's not because you don't have the right cable setup of being a cable cord cutter and your Roku and your different devices
your
and
Roku.
Your Hulu Plus and your YouTube, whatever.
Yeah.
Red or whatever you call it. Here's the key. Nevada, Hawaii is not on TV anywhere.
What about in the Hawaii market, maybe?
Well, I would assume locally it is, like, but there is no TV option for a cable provider anywhere for this game.
So, but on the island, for our listeners in Hawaii, you can watch it in Reno. Maybe in Reno. Can you watch it in Reno?
Maybe on Local 5. I don't know.
Local? It's just random. What do you mean Local 5? What are you talking about now?
But, Jonathan, here's the
local
key.
Local 5.
This game kicks off at 11:59 Central Time this evening.
I'll be watching.
Okay? In fact, on most of your betting applications, it is booked as a game that takes place tomorrow and not today. So scroll to tomorrow to find this game. It's taking place late tonight. Here's the key. I'm going with Nevada plus the 3 points in this matchup because I think last week what we saw from Hawaii giving up 49 points to BYU, I get it. Colin Wilson told us earlier today on the show that he's going with Hawaii minus the 3. Yeah. I think this game's going to be close, and I think Nevada can find a way to get the upset. If you look at number fire predictions on ESPN.com, they have Nevada winning outright in this game, and they have them covering 55% of the time. I like Nevada in a late-night creep tonight to cover plus the 3 points against Hawaii.
Nevada plus 3.
And you can't watch it anywhere. It's not on cable. It's not on your stream. It's not on your Hulu. It's not on your YouTube. It's not on your Netflix. It's not on any of that. It's not on Local 5 here in Chicago. It might be on Local 5 in Nevada. It's not on anything. So this is the key. You make the bet. You hope for everything to work out. Maybe you watch it on the app, and then you go to sleep, and you wake up with some money.
Roll Tide. Lovie Smith. 10-win beard. 3-win coach. And finally, for my last pick, I'm going to go out west. It's going to be lit at Washington State when Oregon comes to town. Game day was there. We are going to go over the nice number of 69. Both teams average 40-plus points per game. The over is 4-1 in Washington State's last 5 games. Give me the over 69, and those are my Saturday night special picks.
Nice.
Thank you, sir. Got you down. He says Oregon, Washington State, over 69.
All right, nice.
That's our Saturday Night Specials right here on ESPN 1000.
All of the latest college football scores, previews, and lines. Chicago's College Tailgate on ESPN 1000.
Roll Tide.